Good morning, brothers and sisters. Children of the Most High God, take your Bibles, please, and go to Hebrews chapter 11. What a great life we live. We already have a seat at Jesus' banquet table. Woohoo! So let's enjoy it. And my prayer is that when we finish here today, you will be more able to receive the good things Papa has in store for you than ever before. Because you know what? It's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, the stuff from the king's table, the king's storehouse. And don't we all want to bring God pleasure? So let's see God bigger and open our hearts to receive in a bigger way than ever before. Hebrews chapter 11 is often referred to as the Hall of Fame of Believers. It's not called the Hall of Fame of Christians, but actual believers. Calling yourself a Christian, in case you're wondering, doesn't actually make you a believer. Do you know how you know you're a believer? Jesus said in Matthew, signs, miracles, and wonders are in your wake. They're following your life. You're healing the sick. You're getting word of knowledge, word of wisdom. You're raising the dead. You're speaking in tongues, interpreting, prophesying. You're doing the works of Jesus. If we're not doing the works of Jesus, are we really believing the words of Jesus? Well, let's go to Hebrews 11:1, because the two things that open that door are faith and hope. Now, faith is the substance. Think about that, substance. Faith is a thing, it's real. Of things hoped for, the evidence should be title deed of things not seen. And I like to add the word yet when I read that verse. They're not seen yet. God already sees them in the spirit realm. We're just bringing them over into the physical realm by hope and faith. And our part is to claim the deeded promise. It's the title deed so that we can do what? Enjoy life with Father. For by it, faith, verse 2, the elders, these cats in Hebrews 11, these mighty men and women of God, it's by faith that they obtained a good report. It made God happy for them to believe him. And verse 6 gives you the counterpoint. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Oops. So maybe this faith thing is worth taking a real good look at. And the first thing I want to share is faith is the substance. Because, you know, it took me a long time to understand that thoughts are things. That what we really believe in the depths of our heart is going to come manifest in the physical realm at some point in time. So, you know, if you want to know where your faith is or what you believe, you know, faith, believing, trust, pistis, all pretty much the same word. If you want to know what you believe, what you have faith in, look at your life. And then think about this. God's nature. God is the giver, the giver of all life, of all everything. God's nature is to give. And he created us so that our nature is to receive with thanksgiving. That makes us a perfect fit. He's always doing his part. When I do my part, that makes us a perfect fit. The dynamic duo that God designed for us to be before the foundation of the world. And you know what, friends? That pleases God because it's his setup. He designed life for us to utterly depend on him. You can't think too much about Jesus saying, I of myself can do nothing. That should have clued us in. So in verse 1, this is all about things that are yet unseen here in this realm, waiting for us to bring them over from the storehouse of heaven. How? By faith. So faith and hope are joined at the hip, and they go together like peanut butter and jelly. And I know a lot of people got brainwashed years ago that there's only the hope of Christ's return. We don't have any hope in this life. Well, if we didn't, we would of all men be most miserable. Yes, there is the hope of Christ's return, but God put faith, hope, and love together so we would have all three spokes of the wheel all our time here on earth. So on a daily basis, what does hope mean? And it's so simple. It is the confident expectation, anticipation of something G-O-O-D. Oh God, good, good. Write that down. The confident expectation, anticipation of something good. You know, look, most of humanity walks around with a confident expectation of something bad. And at the least little setback, they just give up. Because you know what else hope is? Hope is what gives us the invisible drive that keeps a person moving forward despite obstacles. Hope is where our persistence to see something to its finish comes from. When I was 21, I read a great book, psychology book by Viktor Frankl called Man's Search for Meaning. It's a classic masterpiece. And it was all about his time in a Nazi concentration camp in World War II. And he realized that the one thing that set apart those who survived in long-term captivity, I mean hunger, cold, abuse, from those who gave up, was one word. Hope. Hope. Four letters, big power. Those who deeply emerged their, listen to this word, imagination. This is why God gave them to us, by the way. Not to imagine bad stuff, to imagine good stuff. Those who deeply emerged their imagination, visualizing a positive outcome, far outlived the pessimists. And people, when we have a problem, a challenge in our life, we don't need to know every detail about how God's going to fix it. We just have to start seeing the good outcome that we need at the tail end. And listen, children of God, more than anyone, can confidently hope, expect good, because God is good and He has blessed His family with favor. And He's our Papa, who is completely trustworthy. And His favor comes by grace through faith, not of our good works. And if we can truly immerse ourselves into the reality, listen to this word, of the goodness of God, instead of rehearsing all the things that could go wrong and start imagining instead how this could go right with His supernatural help, what a change in your life that would be. That would be your day of true freedom. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Make you free. That's truth. Then you have changed the real in the projection booth of your heart, and you're showing a new picture on the imagination screen of your heart, and God would have to break all His laws in the universe not for you to receive a good outcome. Do you understand? God is a God of laws and principles. What we believe, we shall receive. And that's why faith and hope are two life changers. And all through Hebrews 11, they are the hallmark of these overcomers. Go to Romans 8, please. Keep your finger in Hebrews. We're coming back. Romans 8, 24 says that hope that is seen is not hope. Why? Because if you see it, it's already here. You already have your outcome. You don't have to hope for it any longer. It's right in front of your face. It's tangible. But in like manner, faith, too, is often the opposite of what we see with our eyes or with our five senses. which is why 2 Corinthians 5:7 has that phenomenal sentence, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Our spiritual walk is by faith, not by the five senses. You know, like when the doctor fills you full of fear, gets this little thing and, oh, this is going to be cancer. This is going to have to do this, going to have to do that. Or you've got, you know, the money's not in the bank account, you got a big bill due. Well, the money's not there yet. Your perfect healing isn't there yet. You know, or you need to make high marks on a test just to get that good job. Well, those high marks aren't there yet. But instead of sitting there worrying and all the ways you can fear, you know, what's the biopsy going to be? How am I going to get the money? How am I going to pass this test? Start visualizing yourself having already done it. Wait a minute, I'm not finished. With Jesus' strength, with his supernatural help. It's in our weakness that his strength is what? Perfected. He's saying that as a compliment, because this is how we're supposed to work in tandem. So, you know, you can choose to sit around and navel gaze and get negative, or go to the fountain of living water and get refreshed. Ask the Lord for help and put your trust in him. That's what John 14 is all about. That is the Comforter. You know what the Comforter means? One who will stand alongside you through thick and thin, through good and bad. And that Comforter is the Spirit of Jesus that's not only beside you, but within you. And yet he uses this figure of speech in John 14 because he also upholds us. He stands beside us. And then what do? We do what he says. Because look, when we reach out in faith, you can go back to, keep your finger in Hebrews, but go to 1 John 5. Because when we reach out in faith, it's not so much about believing the promise. No, sorry, go to Hebrews 11:11. Sorry, first mistake I made today. Because when we reach out in faith, it's not so much about believing the promise. It's not so much about believing the promise as trusting in the promisor. Saying the words on the page over and over doesn't move God. That's witchcraft. That's incantation. What brings those words in the page to life is trusting the promiser. In Hebrews 11:11, by faith also Sarah herself received strength and conceived seed and was delivered of a child when she was well past age. She was 90. And you women know the kind of pause I'm talking about. You men don't, but it's called menopause. And why did she receive the child? Because she judged him faithful. She judged God faithful, who had promised. She judged the promiser faithful. And hope and faith, see, that's, wow. They're the whole crux of Hebrews 11. The hall of fame of what? Believers. Why? Because they had signs following. Signs. Miracles. They heard the words of the promiser and stepped out, a lot of times not knowing where it was going to lead them. Abel, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and so many more, they all had faith because they were fully persuaded in the one who promised. And remember back then, in the early part, they didn't even have a Bible. They were just getting the Rhema. That's why faith is the title deed. That's what brings into concretion the words of the promiser that we've been hoping that would come to pass, but not yet seen. But faith, man, is when you get that click, something just clicks in me, and I know that I know that I know that I have the petition, that it's already mine. And that is where I have joy and peace in believing, as it says in Romans. I've stopped worrying about it, and I relax. Before I even see it with my eyes or have any idea how God's going to bring it to pass, I know that I know it's mine. 1 John chapter 5. We're going to go back to Hebrews in a little while. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. And this is the next word. Confidence that we have in who? Him. That if we ask anything, and here's the only caveat on what we can ask for. The only parameters, according to His will. God's not going to bring to pass something that's counterproductive to His word. But man, that's an open field. I mean, there are over 900 promises in the word. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know, there's that click. If we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have, present tense, we've already got it, the petitions that we desired of Him. People, that's faith. The only condition is it's got to be according to His will, but that is a huge list. So hope is confidently expecting. That primes the pump because you start getting confident. You know, God, Jesus said to the centurion when He healed his servant, what you thought could happen has happened. That was the first time it really clicked for me, the relationship between hope and faith. The first thing is start believing God can do it. Just get yourself there. Yeah, God can do this. And then the next step is you walk into that faith where you lock it down in your heart. And that's, you know, when you have faith, that's when you're fully persuaded. And in who? What it say in John? In your ability? Heavens no. Our faith is in the promiser, God Almighty, that what He has promised, He is able, fully able to perform. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. Abraham is called the father of believers. And I'll tell you why I find it interesting in a second. You know what it says right there? He staggered not at the promise of God. There's hope. You know, there's hope. Didn't happen. His promise didn't happen for a long, long time. There's hope. He kept confidently expecting something good. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't give up, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And what is faith? And being fully persuaded. Bingo, that's faith. The hope kept him from not giving up. Hope kept him from not giving up. Faith is when he was fully persuaded that what he, God, had promised, he, God, was able to perform. Again, where was Abram's faith? In himself? No, he really messed up. He did lose hope for a while. And boy, did he make a huge mistake with old Hagar. And she bore a son. And that was not the promised seed. That was not God's promise. That was old Abe trying to play God, which is... That one act was so disastrous, the world is still suffering the consequences. When you look at the mess in the Middle East today, it is all these centuries later a consequence of that one bad decision Abraham made when he took Hagar. Yep, that's why the war between the Muslims and the Christian, it goes all the way back to Genesis. And yet, when he got it together, after he made that giant blunder, he must have repented in there somewhere because he is still called the father of believers because he finally got it right. It's not how you start, folks. It's how you finish. Hebrews chapter 10, one chapter before chapter 11, in case you're wondering. Verse 23 says, let us hold fast. It should be the confession, not profession. Although it is our profession now. We are professional believers. Right or wrong, good or bad. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith without what? Wavering. Why? For He is faithful that promised. Hold fast. Pray without ceasing. Prayer is just thinking about God. I can't think of a better way to stay in faith than just thinking about God. When? Without ceasing. We just think about Him so it becomes our habit all throughout the day, to the point that we start living naturally supernatural. He's always on our mind. Too often we just think about God in times of trouble. And then we get caught up in the weeds of all the reasons why He won't answer our petition. You know, or how many things could go wrong. When you're thinking about God the right way, you know what you're thinking about? God is good. God loves me and wants to be good to me. And I just invite you to spend a lot more time dwelling on the simple goodness. You know, goodness is one of the fruit of the Spirit. The simple goodness of God. So that's such an uncomplicated word. Everybody knows what a good person is. Focus on that instead of the badness of the world. You know, Psalm 107, don't go there because it says it four times. But in verse 8 it says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness." Just start there, that God is good. What a foundation. "And for His wonderful works to the children of men." Four times in one psalm it says that. You think it's important? And you know why it's so important? Because religion has so ingrained in people that God is angry. God wants to punish you. God's going to lay cancer on you to make you humble. Blah, 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 blah. All those things the devil does. God's gotten blamed. It takes a lot of brainwashing, washing your brain clean, to get to that place of a bedrock belief that God is actually good and loving and kind. And all too often we confuse our goodness with God's. Big, big, big mistake. You know, Jesus had better sense than to try to do that. I don't know anybody who was more good than Jesus. Jesus was very, 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 very good. But even Jesus knew He wasn't as good as the Father, God. Our Father, who's never had one bad thought about you ever, has never allowed Himself to feel that gut disappointment. He's out in the field looking for you to come home with tears of joy and forgiveness. And you know why we should pray without ceasing? Because prayer is not about changing God or persuading Him to, quote, finally act on our part, like we're talking Him in to fulfilling the promise. He's already acted. Prayer is about changing you, getting your heart ready to receive, getting you to the place where your receiver's on. Prayer is about getting us to the place where we can walk up to the takeout window, pick up the order that's just sitting there waiting for you to take it, the promise. And remember in Galatians 5, it says that faith is energized by one thing, recognizing God's love for you. That's why I think about the goodness of God all the time. I wake up every morning and say, "I'm a child of favor. God surprised me today. What great thing are You going to do in my life? You're going to give me favor. Man, I have a surprise I haven't had yet." And I have something every day that's great. Sometimes multiple things. So what prayer does is it gets our heart, gets us back in the beam, so to speak, back on the beam, you know, to receive. It boosts our confidence in the promiser. Because 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, "Faithful is He that called you, who also will do it." What? Whatever the promise is. And our part is to receive it with thanksgiving. And don't ever stop being thankful. You can never be too thankful. You can never worship and praise God too much. Because we have, past tense, been redeemed. See, everything you see as you need in the future, God already sees it in the past. He already knows whether you're going to trust Him or not. So to Him, it's already done. But in your timeline, it's not. That's why it's not yet seen. But we've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and filled, listen to this, my friends, wall to wall with Holy Spirit. That's what it said happened on the day of Pentecost. We're filled to the brim with Him. We can't get any more full, which means that we are filled. We may not have tapped into it, but we are filled with the ability to trust the promiser just like Jesus trusted God. In other words, we have the faith of Jesus Christ. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. It's in 1 Corinthians 12. One of the manifestations is faith. Well, whose faith is it? Jesus' faith. Get a hold of that. You have the faith of Jesus Christ. You can use it. You can ignore it. But here's the other side. If you've never been taught you have the faith of Jesus Christ, you don't even know to use it. So guess what, friends? When we know better, you know what we do? We do better. Because it all comes down to this simple phrase. You may want to write this down. It's not what you believe. It is whom you believe. You know, you can confess the promise all day, but you got to believe the one that backs it up. John 16. John 16, verse 8 says, "And when it, Holy Spirit, is come, it will reprove," which is the word convict. You ever had a conviction in your heart where you just got convicted of a truth? It will convict the world of sin. It's going to show the world what God's definition of sin is. Verse 9, because it's going to tell you, "Of sin, because they believe not on me." Not believing God is sin. That's why there's no big X's and little X's, no big ones and little ones. You're either believing or you're not believing. You're either trusting Him or you're not trusting Him. It's like you can't be a little bit pregnant. You either are or you aren't. And this great sin of man started in Eden when Adam and Eve simply did not believe God. They didn't take God at His word. Hebrews 11, well, here we go back again, verse 3. That's an eye-opener right there. God doesn't want to see self-made men and women. He wants to see Jesus-made men and women. He wants the credit for your good life. Hebrews 11, 3, through faith. We understand. This takes faith. And the word faith, understand there is the word noeo, which means we perceive or observe that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. We're not some primordial ooze coming out of the slime. So that things which are now seen, things which are seen, weren't made, which things that do appear. And that's what happens when we exercise faith. This same principle. Things which we don't yet see are made, coming into concretion, being made substance by things which we cannot see, namely God. And we bring them over from the spirit realm into manifestation by trust. Man, tattoo that verse on the tables of your heart. You cannot think about the greatness of God too much. You cannot think about the faithfulness of God too much. You cannot dwell on the truth that God is everywhere present too much. Saturate yourself with Him, the Creator of the universe, and the reality that He is all love. And He loves you beyond your wildest imagination so that you can believe tenderly in the promiser, the one who made heaven and earth. And you may ask yourself, well, Peg, if God is so big, is there anything God cannot do? And you know what the answer to that question is? Yes, there is something God cannot do. And He says so. He cannot lie. He says, "I am not a man that I should lie." God cannot lie. He is truth. He's not truthful. He is truth. He is life. He is love. You know, we live in a world today where somebody will tell you that they're going to do something. You already know as the words are coming out of their mouth, it's not going to happen. They're so full of hot air, they've proved it 1,000 times. But then you know some other people whose words are as good as gold, as they say down here, and you're actually shocked if they don't do what they say. That's how we should feel about God. Shocked. If his promise doesn't come to pass. See, but that's on us. That's not on him. Because if we're believing, yes, it is coming to pass. Look, love is the key that unlocks the power within you. Love is what is the spark to both faith and hope. And God says we love because he first loved us. We got to believe his love for us. And that is the key that opens the lock to our spiritual inheritance. Believing in his love for us. Knowing that God is that one that we'd be shocked if it didn't come to pass. You know, and I know people I feel that way about it. About why don't I feel that way about God? Maybe nobody ever taught me. But sometimes we miss the mark of receiving the promises because we're so focused on us and the problem and not on him and his love for us. You know, there's an old book entitled, Is Your God Too Small? I love that book because, you know, I'll tell you what the conclusion was after 120 pages. If he is, it's because you've made him too small in your own mind. You've limited the Holy One of Israel. Listen, folks, never underestimate God. Never underestimate his goodness, his favor. Listen to this and never underestimate his ingenuity. He doesn't always bring stuff to pass the way we think he's going to bring it to pass. Well, shut up, zip your lip, and take it. Never underestimate the ingenuity of our loving God. You know, I see people, they got scripture on their walls. They walk around with little verses on little cards in their pockets. They can quote you chapter and verse. But the rubber meets the road if you believe who is behind those words. When you get fully persuaded in the author, right? And this is the confidence that we have in the author. That he loves us enough to, as they said on Star Trek, make it so, number one. And that comes straight from the mouth of the one who spoke the words. Now in verses 4 and 5, Paul talks about the faith of Abel, the faith of Enoch, who both believe the promisor. And then he gets to that magnificent verse 6. What a verse. Right here, right in your face. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please God. It doesn't say good works, climbing the mountain, giving $1 million. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, those other things may outflow from it, but that's key number one. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you believe that God is? Let's get honest. Some days we believe that more than others. I've woken up some days and said, man, is all this stuff really true? And, you know, that thought may stay there a minute. Because I know in my heart it's true. But let's get honest. And there's some days we trust him more than others. But if we believe that he is, and this is how he's a rewarder of those of us who diligently seek him, through our faith, then he will answer that prayer. It may take a while, like Abraham. It may be instantaneous, like some of Jesus' healings. So the answers come sometime quickly, sometime slowly. But the hope is what keeps us hanging in there until we get the desired result. Because I'll have people come up to me and say, oh, Peg, I prayed. And God just didn't answer my prayer. Really? He has something in particular against you and not me? Here's a clue. This may be your problem. Here's your sign. God doesn't respond to your wishing. God doesn't respond to your crying. He doesn't respond to your moaning. He responds to your trust in Him. Wishing it might happen is unbelief. Trusting that it's already happened. Faith. Case closed. That, my friends, is the law of believing. It is immutable, and it ain't ever going to change. So if you don't receive your answer, there's your problem. Here's your sign. You see your God too small. Or you're too focused on some personal flaw to think that He would do that for you. You got to let it go, man. Let it go. He that comes to God must believe that He is. He's big enough, He's loving enough to supply all your needs, as it says in Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all, A-L-L, your need according to His poverty, like the way we see the world. No, according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This is how much He's going to give us and the conduit. His riches through Christ. Bam! Can He really do that? Supply all my needs? Of course, He's God. It says in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 22, it is He that sits upon the circle of the earth, and down a little bit, it says that stretches, stretches out the heavens as a curtain and spreads them out as a tent to dwell in. Dude, the universe is God's pup tent. He's the tent maker. So He's got to be a billion times bigger than what? The tent, the universe. That's why God's omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. You can't measure God. He's measureless, boundless. There's no end to His mercy and His love and His understanding. Yes, our Papa's got the goods. And He wants you to believe that. Believe that. That He is that big. He is that trustworthy. He's that good. Gosh, I love in Luke 15 when the Father didn't shake His finger in the Son's face. Because the Son had already repented when He was still out in hog country. He just hugged Him, kissed Him, and gave a party for His child. That's my Father. I don't know what yours looks like, but that's what mine looks like. And He is both willing and able to meet all, A-L-L, your needs, how, exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. Those are God's parameters. All above, exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. Lord, widen our borders of receptivity. Widen our heart to thank you and worship you more. So ponder these things, my friends. He made the universe, the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, countless galaxies. The Milky Way is only one in the midst of billions of galaxies. That's how He wants you thinking about Him. When you bring your petition, how? Boldly before His throne, that He is the good God. He is the God of, listen to this, folks, anything is possible. Anything is possible. I had another cancer coming up on my nose 6 weeks ago, and it was just looked like the ones I'd had to have this deep surgery on, and nobody really wants a big fat scar on in the middle of your face. And I just started looking in the mirror, and every time I looked in the mirror, I saw my face whole. And about a week ago one night, I just woke up in the middle of the night, and I kind of rubbed my face, and this thing had worked itself into some kind of ball, and it just fell off. It just fell out of my face. And I didn't even get up and go look in the mirror. I just knew it happened. And when I got up to brush my teeth the next morning, all I did was smile. Because this is what I had hoped for at first, the confident expectation of something good, and my faith had clicked in at some point, because boy, the next morning my nose looked like the skin on a baby. Gone, vanished. He's the God that can do anything. That He is pure goodness. That He always keeps His word. That He has, past tense, supplied all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You just got to go up to the takeout window and pick it up. That He loves you unconditionally. That you are already now seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus. And that when He looks at you, He doesn't see your weakness. He sees His Son. He sees perfection. He sees the new man, the Christ in you, alive. He looks at you and He sees the faith of Jesus Christ. You just got to get on board with Papa and His vision of who you are. I recently got some legal papers that changed my life. And you know what? I believe them because a judge signed them. Yep, and they're legal in every court in the world. Good gravy. Why would I believe what an earthly judge signed more than what my God has legally put His name to? Psalm 38 says God magnified His word above all His name. That means God underwrote. He stands behind every word, every promise. You can't get more powerful backing than that. You know, the first time I heard that verse, I didn't even know what an underwriter was. But when I had all that storm damage on my home, I sure knew what they were. I went to my insurance company and I was writing checks for $15,000, $20,000, $30,000. They were all underwritten by a mere insurance company, and I never once wondered if their check was going to bounce. I believed in those men. Good gravy. So I ought to trust God that times a billion. Because the promiser is never going to give me a promise that bounces because of insufficient funds, ever. But here's the flip side of faith, and it's in Hebrews 4. And God is talking to those Egyptians who came out, those Hebrews that came out of Egypt, and man, they had witnessed firsthand signs, miracles, and wonders, the 10 plague, the crossing of the Red Sea, all that stuff. And we're still marveling over those today. But this is a very strong admonition to the 21st century church. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Let us, here's my brain at work. That's how I know it's to me. Let us therefore fear or be concerned. Lest, about what? A promise being left us of entering into His rest, the joy and peace of believing, any of you should come short of it. God doesn't want us to come short of that. He wants us to live in the midst of that joy and peace. For unto us was the gospel preached. Have you heard the gospel? I sure have. As well as unto them, those Hebrews under Moses. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with what? Faith. Holy skimoli. For me, that's some amazing unbelief. After everything they had seen, after all the signs, miracles, and wonders, the parting of the Red Sea, they walked through it, and then it closed upon the Egyptians. You know what, people? You got to be taught to be that stupid. But listen, I don't know about you, but I don't really like to eat raw flour. And truthfully, I don't really like to drink raw eggs. And to be honest, I don't even like to consume a whole handful of sugar. But you know what? If you mix all that together with some milk, you know what you get? A big, beautiful cake. You got to mix it up to get the cake. A cake that you enjoy, and sometimes I enjoy them too much. But God's word has got to be mixed with faith for it to be spiritual food for it to come into concretion, for that answer to prayer to become tangible and something that we want. So it didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into his rest. That's the empirical evidence. When you have a petition, you take before the Father, and you have joy and peace. You've ceased from your work and turned it over to him. As he said, I've sworn in my wrath, those who don't believe, they're not going to enter into my rest. Although, look at this caveat, the works were finished from the foundation of the world. My goodness, how many of those people died in the wilderness and could have had blessing upon blessing if they had just believed in the promiser. You know, God's part in this whole thing. He's already got all his stuff. He stewards everything well. He's already finished before the foundation of the world. He's got his part already done. So when you have a need, he's not scrambling to answer your need. It's already there. You just got to go to the pickup window. Pick the low-hanging fruit. Everything we need in this life and in the next is already ours if we trust the promiser. Jesus cried out from the cross, it's finished. What was finished? Your redemption bought back belonged to God and mine. What was finished? That rest to God's people. He gave us the privilege to rest in God's hands because God is the promiser. He's the provider. He gave us the ability. We didn't even have this before we were born again. To live a life full of hope, faith, love, peace, favor. We are artios, it says in Timothy, like a ship fully stocked at the loading dock for the upcoming voyage. And he stocked us before we ever left port, before the foundation of the world. But you got to go to the stockroom and pick it up. Because it's finished, we don't have to live in fear, doubt, and worry. We can trust in the Lord with all our heart. And we're warned in Hebrews 10:39 to not be like those who turned away from God, those Hebrews in the wilderness, to their own destruction. And man, when we turn away from God, that's the only thing we can expect is bad. We're not going to bring his will to pass. We're going to fail. But we're not like them. It says in Hebrews 10:39, but we're like them that believe to the saving of our soul. And that word saving of your soul means to be made every whit whole in every way, body, soul, spirit, attitude, everything. Everything. Everything made whole. And you don't have to go too far to get the perfect example of how to live this way, because you go right past Hebrews 11 into Hebrews 12. And boy, I really invite you to go back and read, look up every name in Hebrews 11 and read about their life. Find out who these people were. See how it fits with faith and hope. And God gives us even maps out the path of how to walk full of hope, full of faith. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, because of all these great things he told us about in Hebrews 11, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, people who did it right. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Moses, Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. Here's our examples. Let us lay aside every mental weight. That's where we got to travel light in our brain. Every mental weight and the sin, the unbelief, the not trusting God, which does so easily beset us. We don't live in a believing world. Let's set that aside. And instead, let us run with patience. And what gives us patience? That's where hope comes in. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. How do we run the race? Looking unto, focused on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Look at this, the author and finisher of our faith. We've got it. We've got faith like Jesus. It's one of the manifestations, faith. If you can speak in tongues, you've got the faith of Jesus Christ, my friends. We don't look at the problem, we look at the solution. We don't look at the problem, we look at the Lord who loves us. Verse 3, and consider him that endured such strife of sinners against himself, again, lest ye be wearied and faint. Don't faint. Don't give up. Hope. Abraham had to wait 40 years for the promise to be filled. He did. He got it way back in Haran, way before he got to Canaan. Took 40 years for him to get to the place where it clicked and God could give him the promise God's way. But don't faint in the meantime. Hope is that which keeps you going till you get to that faith, that click that brings home the bacon, honey. Don't give up, ever. Keep looking at the Lord. He'll carry you through. He'll take all your dark skies and turn them to blue. Read these records in Hebrews 11. Let them come alive in your heart. And when you have a problem, take your mind off the negatives that the five senses are screaming at you. Fear, 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 fear. And instead, focus on Jesus. Faith, 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 faith. I may not feel like it, but I have the faith of Jesus. It may not look like it yet, but I have the faith of Jesus. I'm not quite there yet, but I have the faith of Jesus. And then one day you just leave out the yet and you realize it is mine. And you know that you know you have those petitions because of your confidence in the goodness, the goodness. Leave here today with that word good just banging around in your head. Good, good, good. Of your risen, perfect, loving Messiah. And the goodness of your magnificent, awesome Papa. Not to mention the innumerable company of angels that are ministering to you with and without your knowledge. See, visualize, imagine in your heart, like Viktor Frankl said, what you want the outcome of the situation to be. I visualize a nose with beautiful skin. I ask for skin like a baby. See what you want the outcome to be. I don't care how God got there. I just want to get there. And I did it according to his will. By his stripes, I was healed. And then, you know, when I just believed it, fire in the hole, get out of the way, boom. There's my answer. And the answers are always coming, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but they're ours. And you know, this verse has sustained me so many times throughout my life. It's my closing verse, Psalm 27:13. And this is the honest to God truth. I had fainted. I would have lost hope so many times in my life unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Sometimes that's where it starts. You just got to believe what could happen if I just trusted that God is good. What could happen? Just start with that. What could happen? And that is our joy and privilege to see the goodness of God in our lives. Every single day we draw breath. So I highly recommend you learn to live by faith. And like I opened with, my prayer is that when we finished here today, you would be more able to receive the good things Papa has in store for you. Have we lit that fire in you? Have we expanded your borders? Let go of the confines of your five senses and move out into the deep of the spiritual reality of kingdom living in the here and now, because faith, it's a gift. Our faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, the title deed of things not yet seen. And without faith, it's just simply impossible to please God. So let's please God, because our God is so good and you are his billboard. He wants all the world to see his goodness manifested in your life. So, baby, let's do this thing. Let's light this candle and move out for God. Amen? Amen. And I'm going to close with the words of George Mueller. Father, I thank you that we live in the spirit of prayer. And we know that prayer is just thinking about your goodness, your magnificence. And Father, I thank you that we can walk, that we can pray all day as we walk about, when we lie down, when we rise up, and that the answers are always coming, thousands and tens of thousands of times. Have my prayers been answered? When once I'm persuaded that a thing is right according to the will of God and for your glory, I'm going to go on praying until the answer comes. God, teach me persistence. Teach me focus. Teach me hope. Teach me how to have faith on a deeper level. And I bless you with that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.